let's get going. Hour number three. A lot happening again today with regard to the threat that vaccinated people pose to the unvaccinated people. And as I said last hour, the city of New York has decided in its, storied wisdom to separate the seating in the Mets and the Yankees baseball parks. The vaccinated will be segregated into one part of the stadium, and the unvaccinated will be put in another part, and they must remain segregated. That's their plan right now. So this is going to become bigger and more intense, quite clearly. There's going to be a lot of anger. You're going to see some very strange things happening. The number of people getting vaccinated is down about 25%, according to one survey I've read. And I also am finding out, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but the U.S. leads the world in the number of vaccinated people, more than any other country so far. I don't know if that's correct, but that's what I saw. And maybe we'll find out from our guest about that, and we're going to learn many other things as well. Erica Kahn, scientist from microbiologist, I guess, is the formal term, from MIT is with us, and she's been a guest many times. We've learned a great deal. Erica, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Jeff. It's good to be back.
Yeah. So we're learning more, and we have to learn it anecdotally, but we're learning more almost every day about the apparent transmission of possibly the spike proteins from the vaccinated. How does it look to you at this point? What do you think?
Yeah, there's no denying it. People that are spending time in the presence of those who have been vaccinated are clearly getting sick, in some cases very sick. I'm aware of two clinicians who deal directly with patients that have, in the past 2 weeks, come down with debilitating flu-like symptoms that had them really bedridden for several days. They're okay now, but it knocked them for a loop, whatever it was.
I wonder, when you say they're okay now, what do we think? If they have been somehow infested with, in a transitional or temporal way, with spike proteins, are we suggesting that maybe their immune system was able to engage and overcome these spike proteins? Or have they gone dormant? Or have they gone into a mode of replication that is minimal and no longer causes any major obvious effects? This has many different facets that are potentially right there. I don't know which is right.
It's anybody's guess at this point. Some of the other reports indicate that the symptoms come and go depending on whether or not they're around these vaxxed people.
So they don't necessarily abate fully. They can diminish, and then the people go out and run into somebody who is vaxxed, and they won't know it because people aren't wearing identification. That will be a demand that eventually is going to show up, maybe not too far down the road. But they can be reinfested. I don't want to say infected, but reinfested with spike proteins. Again,
if that's what's being passed.
Yeah.
We really don't know. I mean, all of this is speculation because we don't know what's in these vials that people are submitting to. It could be some kind of frequency, or a combination, with the Pfizer and Moderna.
How would a frequency, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how would a frequency cause symptoms of illness and distress in people who have not been vaccinated, but who have been around those who have? How would that play in?
Well, depending on the frequency, that's probably a long shot, but we know that 5G has impacts on the blood, even 4G,
yes.
Certain frequencies will, create these perturbations in the blood that prevent it from carrying oxygen properly, and you get dizzy, you get headaches, you just don't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be that going on, and the reason I say that these people may be emitting a frequency is both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines use these lipid nanoparticles also known as a hydrogel, which can be infused with nanoparticles that can transmit frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
every possibility that
may be happening because, number one, they're using this lipid nanotechnology. Those who have taken the time to look at that Pfizer video where they showed what was in the contents of these vaccines under a microscope and tried to determine mm-hmm. what we're looking at, that looks synthetic. Whatever's in that looks synthetic. And curiously, on the vials themselves that are being dispensed are not barcodes to keep track of the lots, but actually RFID chips.
Really?
Now, why?
That's first I've heard of this. I hadn't heard of this. That's very suspect.
Yeah, so
these
lots that are being dispensed by the military, by the way, by the DOD, FEMA, are being tracked. It's not as casual as it may look. I mean, they're mm-hmm. not necessarily taking your name and number, but they are matching up whatever's in a vial that's going into somebody with an RFID chip.
Wow.
I've also been told that 20% of what's out there are placebos. So if there's placebos, there could also be different formulations or different concentrations or you name it.
That's an interesting statement. 20% may be placebos, maybe saline.
I think at least 20% are placebos because it is technically still a study, phase 3 clinical trial.
Got it. Now, remember the African leader, I forget who it was now, but he would not allow the vaccines in his country after he noticed, somebody pointed out to him, that the box that the vials came in said, only for use in the United States and the EU or something like that.
Or conversely, the opposite, not for use in the U.S.
Correct. That's
Europe.
What it was. You got it. Yeah, you got it. Not for use in the U.S. and Europe. Why not? What was the difference? All vaccines are not created equal, apparently.
No, that's starting to become apparent.
There could be a number of different mRNAs and different batches that they're tracking and watching. This is a huge study, in addition
yeah.
to its obvious population reduction dynamic. This is a study. They're watching. They're learning all the time. They're tracking. This is very interesting.
So a lot of people are complaining of, I mean, as if they've been exposed to, you know, frequencies or radiation. Just they don't feel well when they're around these vaxxed people, and they are having bleeding disorders, horrendous bleeding disorders that just defy explanation. Curiously, the people's cell phones, they don't realize this, but your cell phone already contains the software necessary to acquire biometric information when you are implanted with this technology.
So you think, all right, let's say, all right, Jeff goes out tomorrow and buys a new iPhone 12. In that iPhone is specific technology, hardware, software of some kind that is directly involved with the whole process of vaccines and vaccination with these bogus test concoctions.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
It's just looking for, you know, the transmitter.
Okay, here's Dr. Larry. Did you see the new Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Pilevsky video?
How new?
Well, I think it's pretty new. It starts out with a post, and we're going to get in a little later tonight to some of the complaints from people around the country, and there is an avalanche of them. It's nonstop now. People who have been around vaccinated people who are sick. And never mind the fact that people who get vaxxed are getting sick regularly. And we're not hearing about that unless they die. And then we only hear, I'll bet we're only hearing about less than 5% of the fatalities.
Definitely.
Next to nothing. All right. Here's the opening of the video. And it's a post on one of these, I'm not involved with any of them, so I don't know which is which, but it's on one of the social media platforms, and it says, I played this earlier tonight, just a little bit of it. So, my idiot husband got both vaccines. Do you remember that one? Did you see that one yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, it starts out with a screenshot of a post on a social media page. So, my idiot husband got both vaccines. He got the second one last Wednesday. And last Saturday was the first time we were intimate, and I had an allergic reaction. I'm thinking it was involved with the vaccine. My stomach looked like it had a basketball in it. My whole body got warm, and I had the sweats. I broke out in hives on my face and neck. My throat and tongue bothered me. 3 days after, I finally was able to breathe normally again. Now, that's the opening graphic on this video, so I'm going to play just a little bit of it here with Dr. Larry Pilevsky. He's pretty good. And he's been very brave in taking an honorable position in presenting this information, like many others have as well. Hold on. There we go.
No study has been done to test whether we turn on the production of that spike protein and ever turn it off. And so spike protein in the naturally occurring SARS-CoV-2 viral infection has been shown to cause brain inflammation and neurological damage, heart attacks, lung disease, liver disease, kidney disease, and interacting with the male and female reproductive systems, along with affecting blood binding to oxygen and blood clotting. And so we know that the natural disease of SARS-CoV-2, because of the effects of the spike protein, is making people sick with all of these kinds of systemic illnesses. And so now we're taking that spike protein genetic instructions, and we're asking our bodies to make more of that spike protein. And so by making more of that spike protein, we are essentially creating the symptoms and the illness of COVID-19 by giving people the potential to have brain damage and neurological damage, lung disease, liver disease, kidney disease, heart attacks, strokes, blood clotting issues, and impairments to male and female reproductive systems. And there's no study to show whether when the body starts manufacturing this synthetic spike protein, whether or not we ever turn off the production of that spike protein. And so that spike protein is known to be pretty damaging to the human tissue. And so we know that spike protein has been found in saliva. We know that it's been found in the anus. And we have to ask the question, is it found in the exhalation molecules that come out of our breath? Is it found in the skin when we sweat and we smell, the spike proteins come out? And if so, does that impact other people with whom we come in contact? And so what we've been seeing is a massive increase in those who've been given the injection of blood clotting problems, miscarriages, stillborns, infertility, stroke, heart attack, autoimmune diseases, and death, just to name a few. And that's in those who've been injected. So certainly there should be a suspicion when you see people around the injected people who have not been injected getting the typical symptoms of COVID, in addition to miscarriages, bleeding, irregular menstrual cycles, it should raise a very, very strong suspicion.
Okay, there you go. So he kind of summed it up right there. And again, we're going pretty much on anecdotal information, but we're watching for trends. And the trends are very clear so far. I mean, there are real serious issues being reported by people who have been made terribly sick simply by being in proximity to those who have been injected.
Sadly so. It's worrisome, very worrisome, because if it is just spike protein, oh, okay, so you inhale this, now it's in your bloodstream. It's alarming that they know the spike protein can cross the blood-brain barrier. It gets into the brain, then what? Are
That's
these
the
insoluble
whole thing.
Proteins? Meaning, can you break them down, or do they get lodged in there and continue to cause problems for the rest of your life?
Do proteins in and of themselves normally have the ability to recreate themselves? Do they reproduce? Do they duplicate?
No. You need nucleic acids.
They're usually stable. Okay. So
the concern is, do they break down? You have proteases.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, normal proteins should be soluble, meaning that they will break down and eventually leave the body. But there's others when they're not soluble or insoluble, they create deposits and they start lodging in tissues and causing inflammation and dysfunction. Is that what we're looking at?
I don't know. Now, the other thing, if someone, let's say, okay, I'm around somebody who's been vaxxed, and that person coughs, sneezes, or exhales, and I walk through that little cloud of aerosolized micro droplets with spike proteins in them, and then I get sick. And the next day, I'm sick. I've got rash, I've got headache, whatever. 2-3 days later, these people seem to be getting better, or are they being dogged by this on a does it last for weeks? What are you hearing?
I'm thinking it's like an allergic reaction, like cat dander or tree pollen, that, you know, if you get enough of it, you're going to be uncomfortable because it's causing an allergic reaction. This protein all by itself is very antigenic, meaning it provokes your immune system. And I think just like a bee sting, the more you get stung, the more your body becomes sensitized to it. And at a certain point, you become allergic to it and maybe create autoantibodies because there's so many genetic sequences or epitopes in this protein that are identical to ones in your human body that you start to make autoantibodies. Now, I've seen reports of people whose hair is starting to fall out after being around vaxxed people. Now, that might mean that they're poisoned, like chemotherapy or something. Maybe it's that kind of poisoning or radiation that will make your hair fall out. Or maybe they've developed thyroid disease from being exposed to this protein over and over.
That's a new dimension to this. Hair falling out. Wow.
Yep. And the other thing is skin lesions. People are developing these hideous rashes. In some cases, it almost looks like a chemical burn. Their skin is peeling off. What's that about?
So, all right, somebody begins to present with some of these symptoms. First of all, they've got no doctor to go to who's going to understand any of this. They're not going to get any relief. That's sad. So they're out. And it would also suggest that maybe the amount, I'm guessing, the type of reaction is dose dependent. Let's say you got a big slug of spike protein and in an aerosol situation, you inhaled it, you didn't know, it got on your skin, you rubbed it, maybe it goes, it's 10 times smaller than a virus, so it could certainly transit the outer layer of the skin, I would think, and go into the body.
Yeah, they could become embedded in your skin and...
Right. Okay.
So,
I mean, it's very perplexing. I mean, as a scientist, you can't sit down in a lab with these people and run tests properly. All you can do at this point is what most people can do, and that's just read the reports and try to come up with some kind of a logical sequencing of events. These people know or they don't know when they've been around somebody who's vaxxed, because the vaxxed people are not identifying themselves, nor are the unvaxxed, for that matter. So as I said in the baseball stadium issue in New York City, they're going to separate the two. How's that?
Which is probably a good thing at this point.
I would say.
I think it's that quickly.
We're moving
until
in that
we
direction.
Determine what this is, what these people are shedding, and if there's any consequence to it. I mean, there appears to be, but it's probably best just to keep your distance and assume
how
the worst
know,
until
though?
It's
we
proven otherwise. It's,
we go into a store, we don't know. We do know a normal exhalation can travel up to 15 feet and hang in the air in terms of aerosolized droplets. It can certainly come to rest on any horizontal surface. You may pick up a product that someone has breathed on an hour or two earlier. We don't know. We're into a situation here. This is the twilight zone at this point.
I mean, I might add to that the number of complaints regarding cognitive function seems to be increasing. a lot of people complaining about having trouble word finding, short-term memory lapses, and there was even one person complaining of being unable to recognize faces or feeling that I can't think of who this is.
Well, that's not good at all. Now, again, what we're talking about, if you just joined us, are people showing symptomology and distress after having been around vaxxed people. They have not taken the vaccine. And I know one guy who, for some strange reason, took the vax, I guess, yesterday, and today he's very sick in bed, I heard. And he didn't want to get out of bed at all. He feels horrible. So that's what happens. And again, we're not hearing about a lot of these things. VAERS is very good, but it's not by any measure collecting all the data that's out there. I don't know what percentage we could hang on it, but what do you have a guess on that?
I think we're still only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And even at that, it's alarming.
Very much so. All right. When we come back, we're going to read through some of the issues that have been presented to us. And this has to do with some pictures from Slovakia we're going to do first. Look in the guest section. Look under Erica Kahn, and you'll see it. We'll be right back, and we'll dial that in. And you got to see these pictures. They're really amazing. Okay, right back to it here. Go to guests and look under Erica Kahn and look at the second link. It says incredible photos of hydrogel-lithium releasing hollow nylon fibers in nasal swabs. These were found in Slovakia. Most of the nasal test kits are manufactured in China. I think I've seen five different brand names, and they're all made in China. And you need to watch, we're going to show you in these pictures, what these nylon, keep this in mind, nylon fibers, they're designed to break open when they're rubbed, in these fibers are being released. What's in them? And I'm going to go back, pull that up while you're pulling that up. If you remember back, I talked about some of the Morgellons fibers under magnification, and one of them was backlit, and you could kind of see through it. And inside of it was a long row of round, they look like golf balls or something, round objects in this fiber. Now, I don't want you to think that these fibers are nylon that we're going to talk about, but I do want you to think about the idea that in both fibers were things that were being delivered into the body. Now, in terms of these swabs or schwabs in Slovakia, as you'll see when you pull the page up, we're going to see some pretty frightening and disgusting things. And most of you listening have been tested. I have not. I just would have nothing to do with it. But I it was just an intuition. So this is what's happening. Nylon fibers designed to break open and release material into your sinus cavity. Now, Erica, tell us what a hydrogel is. What is a hydrogel? Is that one of the round objects in these nylon filaments or fibers?
Well, it's a synthetic material, like these lipid nanoparticles, that, you know, it's close enough to the body's own tissues that it can fool the body into accepting it and incorporating it into its structure, but it's not. It's synthetic, and it can be infused with any number of things, whatever it is you want to get into a cell. And the interesting thing is, you know, depending on the metal or the material that is infused in these lipid nanoparticles, it can create a voltage. And as I was saying earlier, this bioelectric silver that seems to be what may be in the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines is capable of acquiring and transmitting biometric information.
Send and receive to outside
Send and receive.
Outside sources, like a 5G signal. something like that. Because remember,
yeah, or
all
that
of your 4G
little,
and 5G, they're two-way. They're send and receive. Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, it would work like the software in your phone, except it's in your body. I mean, where they've gone with in the world of nanotechnology and semiconductors and all that stuff, it is mind-blowing. And people think this is science fiction. It's not.
No. All right.
It's here. It's now.
It's and it may be in some of you listening right now. Probably many. Pull up that page and let's scroll down. Are you on that page, Erica? Can you see that?
Yep. Hang on.
At the first page, actually, it's only one long page. We've got the first image, figure one and two, show hollow nylon fibers at the broken end of test swabs. I always honor, well, try to, Klaus. These broken nano nylon hollow fibers have released something into the body. And these are in the end of the test swab that they stick in your nose, or for those who are early on in these tests, all the way in the back of your sinuses, up against that bone that separates your sinus from your brain, pushed right on there. And these nylon hollow fibers are designed to break and release their cargo. Okay? So look at the first image, and that's figures one and two. There's one is on the left, two is on the right. You'll see that the ends of these things are broken off. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
That means they were in somebody's nose, being twisted, pressed, and they broke off, and they released something. We think they're releasing hydrogels into the sinuses. Go ahead, Erica. Tell us what your thoughts are on figure one and two, and then take us on down to the next one, figure three.
I'm not actually seeing it, but I can recall it from memory.
Okay.
Whatever it is, you know, it's extremely toxic to the blood cells, red blood cells. It creates some a crystallization reaction within the blood cells. So the blood cells are clearly suffering, getting destroyed, becoming useless for the sake of implanting this technology. But it, you know, it's quite obviously toxic.
Obvious. Okay. Anyone who has at least a standard school microscope and a test microscope can verify the information regarding the test swabs published here. All information about test swabs, DARPA hydrogels, and lithium is publicly available in scientific and corporate work. Links to some are at the end of this document. Okay. It also says, from this information, it is clear that test sticks are a criminal tool of genocide in the population of Slovakia. This is a worldwide, thoughtful, and carefully prepared event. All right, let's go down to picture number two. The second picture, it's actually picture number three, but the second image, figure three, for comparison, a picture of a classic cotton wool mixture under microscope. You don't see any of the nylon. They look like tubes, nylon tubes. Then look at figures four and five, and look at the ends of them. They're broken, okay? Suggesting that they may have been one looped nylon tube that broke in half when it was rubbed or spun and dumped out its contents. It says broken shaped ends, their task is to disrupt the epithelium, the surface layer on the mucosa, thereby also their breakage and subsequent leaching of the fiber content, DARPA hydrogel and lithium. This is quite remarkable. These threads are patented, of course, by DARPA. Figure 6 shows a longitudinally open fiber, one of the nylon fibers, broken open, and the DARPA hydrogel content balls. They're round. They're little round ball-like things. Remember the image of the video that I put up showing what was in the vaccine, that synthetic creation, which appeared to be a little machine that was creating or manufacturing those little round ball objects that were moving up toward the top of it? Well, these are round also. They look, they're individual objects. They're hydrogel objects. So we go to the next picture, figure 7. On the slide, after mechanical manipulation, which is identical to the Schwab nasopharyngeal material that contains the crushed nylon fibers, it shows the material remaining on the slide as it would remain on the nasopharynx after spawning or being released onto them. Then we'll go to figure 8 and 9, DARPA hydrogel beads that form the content of hollow nylon fibers. Okay, so you can see another good look at them. Go on to the next one. This is getting real interesting now. Let me actually move further down. Go down to image number... hold on. I got to find this. There it is. Figure number 20. Scroll down to figure number 20. All right, this is a microscopic image of a mass of live red blood cells. Okay, that's what they normally look like. Figure number 21, after the addition of a DARPA hydrogel from the test nylon filament or rod or tube being released, it shows a complete massacre of all the red blood cells. Look at them. They're destroyed. Now, you remember those two pictures, Erica. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in order to implant this, whatever it is, hydrogel with its lithium, quite a bit of damage is done. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not something that you'd want in your brain. I pity these people that were forced to have this test. And I know someone that had it done that, you know, was required, couldn't refuse it for whatever reason. And they said that it did not feel like what a nasal swab should feel like. And there's no reason that, you know, you couldn't acquire the same biological sample from somewhere in the lower sinus cavity. There's no reason it has to be that close to the brain.
Now, if all the blood cells are being destroyed, and they are, figure 22 says DARPA hydrogel forms blood clots within a few seconds.
Yes.
These subsequently damage and clog blood vessels. This is not good.
So the little beads, we might assume, would be the seeds to create nucleation sites, because that's one of the things about synthetic biology is that all you need is the seed and then it starts to self-assemble. It will start to just recreate itself, replicate, recreate itself, and then form wires, filaments, circuits.
Yes, little computers, little biocomputers in
your
body.
Yeah, and people think you're crazy when you talk about this, but
no,
it's real.
Not crazy at all.
It's real. They're doing it. They've done it. This is actually primitive compared to where they're going with it. Where they want to go with it.
Or where they already are and they're just keeping it on the shelf for now. We don't know.
Well, we're the beta test.
That's right. Well, look
before
at this
they can
again.
Deploy it full scale.
At maybe any day, any time. We don't know what their agenda is, but we do know the agenda is not good. Figure 20, normal live red blood cells. Look at figure number 21 and then look at figure number 22. That is a clot being formed by these little round objects that have been deposited on the mucosa and obviously get into the bloodstream by these Schwabs that they put up your nose and spin and press and God only knows what. I don't know how they're trained to do it. I don't know what because I haven't had one. But these dead blood cells will clot. And right at the center of this clotted area is one of the round DARPA products. It's right there. Okay, that may be part of the clotting issue. We don't know. These hydrogels could be in the injections. Why not? Why would they? Why they wouldn't necessarily just depend on the nose Schwabs? They would want to put them in any way they can.
I think that's part of the experiment. You know, what is the best route of entry to introduce this technology into a, you know, complex living organism? Should we go straight for the brain, or should we inject it in the arm?
Wow. Not good. Okay, go back to guests, and let's pull up this last link. Just a tiny glimpse at the tsunami of people reporting severe problems after being around a vaccinated person. And I hate to do it. It's really difficult to report on this because I know it's going to create fear and paranoia out there among some people, and with good reason. You don't want to be exposed to this stuff. You've got no choice. The government is giving you no choice. No one is identifying themselves in advance, unless you really know somebody well and you can ask them. So what I've got here is a number of social media posts. I think you've read some of these, haven't you? I'm going to read a few, but is this an example of what you're seeing when you're going looking around?
Oh, did you have one in mind? Or, you know, I see them daily because, you know, I just peruse it daily.
Okay, let me read a couple here. Somebody asked about nosebleeds. And Alicia answered, my husband does too, like gushing waterfalls. He never had them before February. And then somebody else said something, and she answered back, we need to pay close attention to anything abnormal happening to our bodies. This isn't normal. My son has had gushing nosebleeds as well. One was so bad that I almost had to rush him to the ER because I could not get it to stop. This has never happened to him before until this year as well. That's verbatim. So what's with the nosebleeds? What do you see as a mechanism, a causal mechanism for this hemorrhaging? Can you come up with any guesses?
It sounds like the endothelium is becoming compromised. Maybe the spike proteins are irritating it to the point of creating these bleeds, and I don't know, there doesn't seem to be enough platelets to cause or to allow the blood to clot.
A platelet shortage. That's kind of common.
I mean, something's happening with the blood and its ability to regenerate. That seems to be a big part of it. I think, at least with the women that are having these problems, I can't help but think there's issues going on with the hypothalamus and pituitary. It's almost as if the hormone signaling is totally, totally skewed. Maybe the liver. I mean, the liver is responsible for producing clotting factors as well as detoxifying hormones or processing hormones, keeping them at the right levels. Maybe even the bone marrow.
It's so wide open now. It's almost daunting right now. We have to collect the anecdotal data and try and string it together and look for patterns. The science, that's for people like you. For the lay person like me, all I can do is read these and be aware of what's being reported. All right, here's someone who's got breast milk sent in, and it's one sample is pink with red clumps in it, look like clots almost, and the other is a dark milky white, and there's some discussion about that. This clot felt like passing a placenta. This is a mother talking about a uterine clot. I have never experienced anything like this in my life. All of a sudden, my periods are coming every 6 to 7 weeks, hard and heavy. And remember, this person and all the people in this little string of anecdotes are unvaccinated, okay? Unvaccinated. I guess I should also mention, she continues, I was in contact with several vaccinated people the week prior to my period. One lady that I had lunch with revealed she got her second dose of Pfizer the day before the meeting. So the question would be also, how quickly after being vaxxed would people begin to emit or throw off spike proteins? The next day?
Yeah, it sounds like it's happening almost the same day. I mean, some of the reports I've seen, it's you know, within hours. And what they did in the laboratory, I mean, they knew that from the animal studies that, you know, once they're transfected with the gene sequence to produce a particular protein, that cell goes to work right away. It starts spewing out whatever protein it is it's being coaxed into producing. And now the question is, how long does it last? No, the manufacturers want to tell you, oh, you know, it gets used up and fades away fairly quickly. Doesn't
kind
look
like
that
Roundup.
Way. Some of the studies indicated that the cells that were transfected with this foreign genetic material were still producing the protein 32 days later.
All right. That suggests, again, no off switch. Once a cell has been genetically commandeered in order to produce the spike protein, it may go on for the life of the cell. What is the concern, I think, here is, I don't know if proteins can procreate or recreate. Can they? Or is a protein, that's usually the end of the line? Or does it get into your body, and your body will, this spike protein obviously is being created by the cells, will it just eventually spread throughout your entire body?
No, it shouldn't recreate itself. Now, and proteins don't recreate themselves without nucleic acid. And so the concern is, where do these proteins end up? We already know that it has biological activity. It can induce clotting. We know that.
It can induce hemorrhaging, too.
Well, yeah, it's
something
irritating
is
to the endothelium. We know it crosses the blood-brain barrier. That's the scary thing, that, you know, it ends up in the brain, and then what? Now you've got
exactly
encephalitis or some, you know, brain inflammation.
And don't forget the American Medical Association. The medical industry is going to get very, very wealthy treating people who are suffering from these unvaxxed disorders. All right, here's another one. They say these shots don't shed. A couple of weeks ago, I visited a client who had two AstraZeneca shots, or who had the AstraZeneca shot 2 days earlier. I was in her home for an hour and a half. After I left, I started getting a headache, which got progressively worse. By that evening, I was in bed, thumping head, and slept very, very early in the evening. Next day, I felt tired and groggy, as if I had a hangover. Yesterday, I saw a different client who had AstraZeneca 2 days ago. I was only in his home for 15 to 20 minutes. I got home from work around 4 p.m. and went straight to bed and slept for an hour. Woke up and had a fever, hot and cold. Just didn't feel right. Today, I'm feeling tired and again, like I have a hangover. My body feels weak, like I need food to fuel it, yet I've had a good breakfast. So there's another one. Any thoughts on that one?
It's just one in a long, long, countless list.
It's endless, I guess.
It really is. It's endless. And, you know, but people come into these groups to share this type of information because they know if something's not right, is anybody else experiencing this? And so we get these discussions going. And some of these groups get to, well, there was 120,000 in one before Facebook shut it down. But
that
they
many.
Get some.
That's a lot.
120,000, yeah. And then, I mean, that's typical. They will last about a week. People come out of the woodwork reporting these strange symptoms they're having, trying to make sense of them, trying to find out, well, what can I do? I mean, some of them are heartbreaking. I mean, people losing their hearing, people suffering with neuropathy, and the doctors refuse to acknowledge it. I mean, the latest thing now is that if a patient comes in and insists that these symptoms are related to the vaccine, they're to be, you know, told, no, they're not, and if you persist in saying that, we're going to give you a diagnosis of mental illness
and put you on antidepressants.
Yes,
another fun thing. All right, I'll do one more here. We got just a couple minutes, maybe I can squeeze in. My daughter has been with my, I don't know what that is, who got the Johnson & Johnson shot. Last night I noticed a random sore at the base of my 2-year-old daughter's neck, the back of her head. So I take her to the doctor today and find out my 2-year-old has now a staph impetigo infection. I'm really hoping it's not related to being around her grandma. No one else but her and the family has gotten the shot. She's my daughter's favorite person, and she helps out a lot with the kids, etc. So there's another one. My 5-year-old had a birthday party last Sunday, and her grandma and Papa came by. They both have had the shot. I noticed a red spot in the same place as your little girl's, the base of her neck. I just assumed maybe it was a mosquito bite and been putting an ointment on it, antibiotic ointment. But when I pulled her hair up, she has 4 more red spots, and I'm taking her in the morning to urgent care. Well, what the hell's urgent care going to do with these people? They'll look at them like they're nuts if they start mentioning I was around a vaccinated person and
yeah.
This is what's happened.
It's a coincidence.
Well, let me see if I can catch one more real quick here. Okay. I work in a medical clinic. One of the doctors had a miscarriage after being around a recently vaxxed family. She then spoke to her doctor about what she was hearing. The doctor, in just a matter of weeks, has seen a number of miscarriages and women with extreme changes to their cycle. The same doctor reached out to others in this field, and all 30 of these doctors have seen incredible increases in miscarriages, heavy clotting, and cycle changing. So there you go. This is a big, big deal. We'll continue to watch it for you. Thanks, Erica, very much for all this. We appreciate it. And let me know if you find anything else out. It's just a question of... It's gathering the anecdotes at this point. That's all we can do.
Yeah, we're working backwards, you know, trying to unravel it
yeah,
as it
good.
Continues to change. I'm, you know, they're shifting sands.